Ooh, and welcome to My Xbox and Me episode. It's a Christmas episode. Yay! 441. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only Too Fresh Crash. Crash, you're looking extra fresh today. Extra fresh.
Oh, thank you.
And now I feel annoyed because okay, so I messed up. It was my fault. I messed up. All right.
Yeah.
So on last week's episode, I was like, we should wear Christmas jumpers, forgetting that Christmas was on Monday. So kind of makes no sense to wear Christmas jumpers now, considering it's the 27th of December.
Oh.
But, Crash.
It's Christmas season.
Honestly, a Christmas song played the other day, like on Boxing Day, and I was like, yeah. Why are they playing these? Who cares? It's over. It's done. Christmas is done. 25th has been and gone. Just me?
No, I respect it. I agree with you. I'm done with the Christmas music and stuff now, yeah.
The one and only Mr. Matt P. Video. Matt, hello. How are you?
Hello.
Two weeks in a row.
Crazy.
Some would say it's a Christmas
Santa's
miracle.
Gift to the podcast. Let's.
I followed the star I saw in the sky, and here I am, second week in a row.
Matt's audio might be a little bit worse than normal. He's at the in-laws. He's relaxing. He's chilling, but he's still here. So you've got to commend him for it. We've got to commend him for it. He's put the effort in this week. I can't believe it.
Love you guys.
And the one and only, Mr. Paul Despawn. How are you?
I'm good. I broke out the Christmas jumper.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks. Cheers, everyone.
It's an Xbox Christmas jumper. I don't know if they can tell it's Xbox.
I can see. No, don't do. Okay, well, I've got Christmas stuff behind me. Happy?
Ecstatic. Yeah, but you're not wearing any Christmas stuff.
Put that on your head.
Put the tree on your head.
Put that tree on your head.
I'm holding the Christmas tree the whole episode today, guys, okay?
This is going to be terrible for the audio.
Yeah, trust me. If you didn't know, this is My Xbox and Me, our weekly Xbox podcast right here on youtube.com/MyXboxandMe and all podcast services. If you want to support the show financially, head over to patreon.com/MCFixer. If you don't want to support us financially, we understand. Maybe drop us a follow over on Twitch, twitch.tv/MyXboxandMe. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube or just drop us a review on the podcast. We do appreciate it. Make sure it's 5 stars and make sure you grab someone's iPhone. That's all we ask. Not a lot. We don't ask a lot. It's not that bad. Patreon producer this week, Mr. Erengard. Thank you very much, as per usual, for supporting the show. I'll grab the Christmas tree when I see fit. Okay. All right. For the episode today, I'll grab it. Topic of the show this week. After a lot of discussion in the Discord, emails, Twitter threads. We finally caused the storm in our own community for once. I was shocked to see it personally. But 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, or was it last week?
Last week.
It was last week. We had a conversation about, did Xbox have a good year? Was Xbox year good? We spoke about it. A lot of the audience disagrees with us, guys. We got an email that came in from the website, which we never get these. So I was like, wow, we must have struck a nerve. Shout out to Simon. He writes in and says, subject, latest episode. You guys were too hard on the year Xbox had this year. It might not have been great, but it was definitely good. Hi-Fi Rush was arguably the best new IP this year. Yes, Redfall was a massive flop. Starfield was loved by many, had a Metacritic score at 86, and sold millions of copies, even with it being on Game Pass. Forza was good, as expected to be. Expecting a bit more, though. And then we had two Age of Empires games ported to Xbox, and 3 of the better indie games exclusive this year in Planet of Lana, Cocoon, and Just Ant. I don't even know what that is. Thank you. Adding great games to Game Pass. I think when you are passionate about something, you're likely to see it more negatively and overlook the positives. From Simon Slater. Simon, thank you very much for the message. We do appreciate you. Again, we appreciate your feedback and we appreciate what you're saying. I feel like we had two discussions. Crash, go on. I'll let you run.
I was going to say we did talk about Xbox's year one in relation to Game Pass as opposed to the games they put out. And then second, we also kept it exclusive to what Xbox did. So not third-party exclusives. So when you're talking about Jusant and Cocoon, those are great to have on Xbox for sure. But we were talking about more so what Xbox has been outputting themselves in our conversation was really the main point.
Which was literally what I was about to say. Like the conversation we had was definitely two-folded. I think sometimes people hear negatives and are very quick to judge. Yeah. I still stand by what I said on the podcast last week, and I will rehash it again this week. I think Xbox had a decent year. I don't think it was a great year. I don't think it was an amazing year. I don't even think it was necessarily a good year. But I do think that is based on the games that I enjoy playing, you know? From Xbox's catalogue of games that I like, Forza Horizon is more up to my speed than Forza Motorsport. Gears of War is more my thing than if a Halo was to have come out. And the list goes on of like games that I'm interested in. Now look at the games that came out this year. Redfall should have been a me game. That should have been a game that I enjoyed. Four-player co-op, vampires, you know, literally everything that I enjoy in a video game, that is where it was. It didn't land. And then Starfield. I have a on and off relationship with Bethesda where sometimes their games hit for me, sometimes they don't. Again, we said Skyrim wasn't for me, Fallout 4 was. And that's kind of the extent of my relationship with those type of Bethesda games. So yeah, I just think it was an okay year. But yeah, the audience disagrees. Matt, what are you going to say to defend yourself? How dare you?
Yeah, because it all comes down on me, I think, doesn't it?
You come back, we get
no. I think there were a lot of YouTube comments that I saw and some that I responded to that I think were like perfectly valid in what they were saying. And I think it comes down to what you said a little bit of like, it just didn't hit for me this year. Like, I think it's interesting. Sorry, who was that review from, that comment from?
Simon.
It was interesting that they point out that Hi-Fi Rush might be the best new IP of the year in a year where we got two new IPs from Bethesda in Redfall and Starfield, and they're not even in the conversation. Like, that's what I'm talking about when I'm like, fuck, this was a bit of a miss for Xbox now first party this year. Like, that is such a wound for me to go like, shit, these were supposed to be the big dogs of the year, and they fell flat on their face, maybe as harsh. I think that's fair to say in Redfall's case. A lot of people out there enjoying Starfield, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, like player counts are huge. Awesome. Brilliant. Love that for you. But when I think of the stuff that impacted Game Pass this year or the things that I would recommend people play from this year, those two don't even come close, right? And that, I feel like, is a huge miss because they should have, because they come from studios that make phenomenal games that have made that kind of impact in the past with IPs that are beloved. And they both came out with new stuff this year that didn't hit at all and felt very old-fashioned and felt very not modern, which sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Hi-Fi Rush arguments are good ones to have. Like, Hi-Fi Rush is definitely the best first-party title Xbox put out this year. I don't think that's to be disagreed with, in my opinion, of what came out, unless you boys disagree.
Well, again, like, you will find people that would argue Forza is, right? Or you know... It depends what you're into, right? I agree that, like,
I don't.
Sorry, did you say new IP?
I'm just saying.
No.
I'm going to say Xbox game this year.
I don't think you can say Forza, if I'm going to be honest, because a lot of the diehard Forza fans aren't really feeling the Forza this year, right?
From what I see online, it's not as beloved this year than it has been many other years.
Yeah, because I can't. I don't play Forza, so I can't really speak on personal experience with a game like that. I really go off of. With the people who do play it, so mainly the person I look at is Stead, who I'm pretty sure he's played it at, like, he played the last one almost every week, if not. So that's generally where I go with that game. And then Hi-Fi Rush unfortunately gets overshadowed by Redfall, and Redfall ended up being a huge dumpster fire, which leads, once you go into the Starfield release, Starfield wasn't as bad as some people said. I think it was very, like, very mixed reviews for the game. No matter how people want to go, it, if you go from a 9 and 10 to a 6 and a 7, that those are mixed reviews at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely.
So I think all of it, again, goes back to Redfall, and I reiterated this multiple times. Redfall really ruined the optics of the year Xbox had, because I do think Xbox had a solid year. It may have not been the best year possible, but it wasn't as bad as it would seem when you throw in Redfall into the mix.
That's fair.
To argue the other side, maybe we were too harsh in the sense that, yeah, you're right. I think, like, we were having insular discussions that when you listen to a podcast, you kind of hear it all in one go and blah, blah, blah. But when you do, you know, if you were to score Xbox's year based on Game Pass and the value that that brings, as well as first-party content, as well as third-party relationship building, as well as acquisitions and all the rest of it...
Totally different conversation.
Totally different conversation. You put Activision acquisition in there... All right, maybe it should have happened last year, but it didn't. It happened this year. So you put that in there, that's a huge win for Xbox.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And so if you're going to score it out of 10, that bumps it up a couple of points. And so, yeah.
The problem with Xbox and doing that is me and Fix have done this podcast for a couple of years now, right?
Long time, that crush. Long time.
We've had, me and Fix have had conversations where stuff will happen and we're like, oh, this is great for Xbox. And then you go to next year and it's like, well, that thing that Xbox did last year doesn't necessarily pan out to anything.
Well, haven't we seen that, right? I remember me and you doing a live stream reacting to the fact that Bethesda have now put out a game, have been bought in that. Me and you sat there, I think we did like 6,000 people watching us live. It was crazy. Big day. We were talking about how big this was going to be, how much of a momentum change this was going to be in terms of the quality of game that comes out of Xbox, right?
Yep.
And then you come around to this year and we're talking about Bethesda again, and again, you've got two big titles, I'm going to stick with this, which is you have Starfield, which is, or three big titles, I should say, really, right? Because Hi-Fi Rush is Bethesda, technically.
Mm-hmm.
So you have three big titles. You have Hi-Fi Rush, which is 9/10, something different, rhythm-based, story-driven, third-person, artsy, like a different, just a different game altogether, university loved. Then you have Starfield in the middle, which is speaks to its core audience in a way, but considered quite boring to a lot of people. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about how many it's sold and things like that. That's not the conversation here. I'm talking about strictly on quality of game. So you have the middle game there with Starfield. And then you have the colossal failure, which is Starfield. And the problem was, but the conversation wasn't the conversation we were having, which was going to be, we were going to get good, bad, and ugly. No. Or good, middle, and ugly. No, the conversation was, we're going to buy Bethesda. And I say we're talking about Xbox, you know what I'm saying. Xbox are going to buy Bethesda, and then they're going to have consistency. And we're still yet to get that consistency. And I think it's going to be the exact same thing with Activision, to be honest with you, but that's another conversation for another day. We're getting more games come out, yes, but the quality of them are just not, they're not where I want them to be yet. And that doesn't mean that they won't get there. I know we already know some of the other studios that are what's being worked on. I think we're in for a treat next year, to be honest with you. I think Xbox have got some things up their sleeve that they wouldn't have come out and said they're going to hit a game. Was it two games or a game every quarter?
One game every quarter this from is, the best part of studio.
That's not new for Microsoft, if I'm not
mistaken. No. It's not, but I believe it now, is what I'm saying. I've heard it for years. Again, yeah, unfortunately, I've been doing this long enough. I've heard it for years, but I believe it now. Whether or not that means they're going to be games that I'm interested in, who knows? Because again, you've got games like, was it called Pentiman last year?
Pentiman, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that came out. It wasn't. I wasn't interested, but it did fantastically well review wise. Don't know how it did sales wise in the end, but yeah, man. I just think it's. Yeah, go on, Matt. Go on. I can see. Yeah, talk to me.
I was just gonna say, is that like an interesting lesson learned though of going this year? The most successful, or at least critically acclaimed stuff that we, you know, the Xbox got was Hi-Fi Rush. Last year, you could argue it was Pentiment.
Yeah.
Like, and these are much smaller. All right, they're built from teams that have like this incredible pedigree. But they're much smaller, much more niche products that people are putting out, and they're going into Game Pass and finding this incredible audience.
I was going to say my argument would be as well, carrying on that story, you've got things like Grounded as well. Was another one that was a small team from Obsidian that just did absolute gangbusters in that genre.
There's a difference between you liking it and it doing gangbusters.
I mean, I'm seeing people constantly playing it to this day. The constant updates to it keep coming.
That game come out in early access. If that game didn't come out, it came out with no content. It had to have updates or there would be no content. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but I think we're arguing about the quality of it. Like, the quality of the content that was there
at launch wasn't enough.
I launched.
It wasn't, but it was a constant.
At 1.0 it was, though.
Yeah, 1.0 was fantastic.
Yeah. Sure.
But what I'm saying is that it's these games that are like the smaller side of the studios, because like Obsidian are a massive RPG developer, like hundreds mm-hmm. of people working on. From what I understand, I think that Grounded had like a team of like maybe 10 on it at the time when it first like, launched. So it was a small studio. So, but I think that's the argument that I would make is like, you just to continue what Matt was saying, of that like, is it the small? Our Xbox could be known now for the smallest games from the bigger studios.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think Obsidian necessarily fits that, because if you look at Outer Worlds was, for the most part, people really enjoyed the game, right?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, Outer Worlds was...
Whereas
was
when you're looking at Bethesda, it's the Bethesda fans who enjoy Starfield for the most part, right? Even in some cases, not always. But then you go to Redfall, and Redfall falls flat, right? So I think Bethesda right now is an outlier necessarily from that argument, but I do think we've talked about it, like the smaller games are what will feed Game Pass because they're easier to produce. You can put in the year or 2 years that you need for that game and you get a quality game, whereas when you put that sort of time into bigger games, take more time to develop and to become quality products. That's why we talked about State of Decay 3 last time. We don't have like any info on State of Decay 3 because State of Decay 3 is a bigger game.
Right? We hope.
We pray.
We hope.
We hope. We don't. We have no information. We hope. We hope. I mean, like I say, to circle back on the conversation that was said on being too critical, I don't think so. I do agree with Simon on you are very critical of the things that you love. I am the most critical of certain content that I watch and content creators and all that sort of thing, right? You're very much to hold them to a, unfortunately, a higher standard than what necessarily needs to be there sometimes. With Xbox, I don't feel like it's that, though, if I'm being honest. I think it's me sitting here for 441 weeks now. Called it 440. I was on holiday. Oh, no, I did the holiday episode. I missed a couple, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? I put the time in to talk about it where I'm just sat here going, okay, I'm waiting. And maybe it's just a case of I'm in the wrong ecosystem, right? Because I've definitely moved now from being solely an Xbox player to playing more games on PC that come out on those platforms. You know what I'm talking about, like the survival games and things like that. That's like, those are games that I enjoy maybe a little bit more than, again, a Starfield nowadays, you know? Like an open world, go do what you want type of game. It has to be in a very specific setting for it to get me, clearly. Because I wasn't willing to persevere with it when it was in space. So, but I don't think I am being too critical of it, of Xbox. I think I just expect more. But the one thing I will say, to like, especially right now with the industry being in the space that it's in terms of job losses and things like that, that is something we've not heard from Xbox at this moment in time. We haven't, and not, I'm not saying it won't happen, but at this moment in time, we haven't heard about people losing jobs yet. We haven't heard about studios having to scale back yet. I don't think, unless I've missed something.
Didn't Xbox have it earlier in the year, if I'm not mistaken?
Was that with the Activision merger?
Yeah, they had before the Activision merger or whatever. Oh, right, okay. It might have been last year that I'm thinking of, but it wasn't too long ago that Xbox did let go people as well, because there was the news about Coalition people being let go and 343 people, if I'm not mistaken, being let go.
I do remember Coalition letting go of people.
Yeah.
Again, I'm talking about right now, though, because again, there's been a big conversation about right this precise second, right? Which I think you're very much fair in what you're saying, though. But keeping the lights on the big companies is obviously something that we want to see happen. I think it's a shame to see some of the studios, you make 10 out of 10 games and then you get fired.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? Where's the money going? And I think that's what concerns me the most.
Yeah.
We know where it's going.
We know exactly where it's going. Yeah.
I know. But
yeah,
I think it's frustrating.
Yeah. Talking to the frustration, like just leading into what you were saying there about like you've been doing this for so long and you've heard the same thing. So I think that's what it comes to. It's not so much that we are overly critical. It's that we've seen these conversations happen time and time again. Like, is this the best year that Xbox are going to have? And then they make all these promises and then nothing comes to fruition. And it's like, it's hard to get like overly like fanboy excited about something when you've seen those promises broken time and time again.
Yeah.
Although like it does to me personally, I don't want to speak for anyone else. This does feel like it feels different for me for some reason. like we've had it before of like previous people that have run Xbox, but like we are going to be the best console that you will ever own. It's the best piece of hardware, best software ever, and then we get nothing for years. Now it feels like we've actually got a leadership team and people that are actually at the top who want to give the best device that you can get, or the best games wherever you want to play them, the best ecosystem. And it feels like it's not that it's empty promises, it's that they're just taking a little bit longer to line everything up. But right now,
there's a strategy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a strategy behind it now, where beforehand I felt like it was a shotgun approach.
Exactly.
And I think the main thing is they've opened their wallets. Microsoft have backed Xbox finally.
Yeah.
In terms of now having studios. Like, I remember when I could name every single Xbox studio off the top of my head and it weren't going to be a 10-minute conversation.
Yeah.
Now it's a 10-minute conversation. And what are they working on? And what's this? And what's that?
Now we need a spreadsheet.
We don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Like, that's just where Xbox are at right now. So, yeah, it's very interesting, nonetheless. Yeah. Very. So, Matt, was you too critical?
Sure. Yes and no. I don't know. Yeah. No.
Chris, was you too critical?
No, I don't think so.
Teaspoon, was you too critical?
No.
I think that's
all you need.
I'm saying that a lot of what we talked about, I think some people took it out of context with the conversation we were having. Mm. We were talking very specifically about Xbox and what this year's done for Xbox and its future, and where they misconstrued and included their opinions on things and how they felt about certain games and took out of context. And you have to like view the whole conversation before you take some sort of input or some sort of something away from it as well, instead of just taking these one sort of single lines or single phrases and just sort of running with it and sort of building your own narrative around it.
I think
it's interesting, like, when you say, like, if they had a good year or a bad year, if you look at what Xbox's objectives are, like Phil Spencer's objectives, I think they've had a phenomenal year.
Oh, great.
They've put a load of games into their Game Pass service. They've made it really good value for money. And they've got cloud gaming onto things that we never thought they would, like MetaQuest. Yeah. And, like the ROG Ally and stuff like this. Like, you have so many more places to play those games. And so that's their main objective right now, right? Make that service as good as possible, or as value for money as possible, get as many people into it as possible, and make sure that those people can play it wherever they are. Like, we've had somebody write into the podcast this year who doesn't own an Xbox, but listens every week and plays exclusively in the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we were a few years off of that, and you guys know I'm ahead of you lot on that, in that thinking. So, yeah, I think as far as their own objectives go, I think they probably feel like they're doing a pretty fucking good job. So
fair enough.
I think that's it. Just to round it up quickly, I think that's where the conversation comes, is like, what we want from Xbox and what Xbox is trying to do feel like they're slightly different. Like, I, as an Xbox fan, I want 10 out of 10 games every time they drop a game, and I want them to stick to this quarter promise of like a massive game every quarter that's a 10 out of 10 that smashes all of the plaudits out the water. But Xbox are very much like, we just want to make the most value for money service and put it in. I think, did they say, like, is it still like 2 billion people they want to get it to?
That's the signature, don't they? Yeah, that's what they try and say.
So, yeah, I think their goalposts have completely changed from what the everyday fan expects or wants from a gaming console manufacturer.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's check out the podcast reviews. We do have one new one over in the UK. So it says, great podcast, but... Hey guys, great podcast, and I listen most weeks when work isn't too busy. I do, however, have one bit of feedback I really think could improve the show. Maybe this already exists and I've missed it. A You're Wrong style section. I only mention this because I have noticed on a lot of episodes, you guys will get certain things wrong when talking about a game or other topics where you're missing important context. In some cases, I feel like certain details that have been missed could be something massive to change a conversation. And you are having/had providing correct context that potentially would change the conversation in meaningful ways. I think having a You're Wrong section would allow for more viewers and listeners to participate, while allow some discussion from the previous week's episode. et cetera, from Wheelie Average. I don't love the You're Wrong section, just because I know that's a kind of funny used to that, if I'm not mistaken. Not sure if they still do and stuff. I am always, again, that's why we do viewer questions every week, right? And that's why in the new year, we're doing something that's going to change that as well. The key thing about this podcast is it is four knuckleheads that come together each week and talk about Xbox. We are not, and I say this all the time, we are not IGN, we are not Kind of Funny, we are not any of these big companies. We are four knuckleheads in our bedrooms who love Xbox and talk about Xbox once a week. Bedrooms, spare rooms, offices, whatever you want to call it, right? In-laws' rooms while drinking a cider.
Yeah.
You know, like, we are not games media. We are not games. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not here to get everything right. You know when I have to sit here and do an hour of research before doing the podcast, it's a different show. And the reason I love doing my Xbox and me, and the reason why it's worked for so long, is Matt will say something stupid and off the so wrong that we're all sitting there going, he's so wrong about that, and we try and correct him in the best way we possibly can, and then we get it wrong, and then you, the listener, writes in and says, you were both wrong, and that's the content, you know? That's the fun of it for me. Don't get me wrong, we have got things in place, and I think the show's going to change for the better in the new year, I think, personally. But yeah, I don't want to do a You're Wrong section. If we get something wrong, write in the email, myxboxandmepodcast@gmail.com, write in the Discord, write it on Twitter. Yeah. Like, we have all these places to put. If you're passionate about something we get wrong in such a dramatic way, write it out in a way of like, because again, people do it, but they don't do it in a way that we understand sometimes, which is like, hey, last week on the podcast you said what do you think of this? Like, that makes way more sense in terms of it making it on the show, because it has context, and then number two, it gives us context, because like sometimes we'll get, yo, you guys got this wrong, there's no question there, so we're not then gonna read that out because it doesn't really make sense, you know?
Yeah. One thing I will say is just be respectful. There's no need to be a douchebag with what you say, is all I'll say.
Welcome to you lot. The internet is not a lovely place. I've been working on it a long time.
I know, no. I fully get that.
Yeah.
I fully get that.
People are passionate. Again, the thing is what I will say, and I always say, text has no context.
Yeah. I mean, the word cockwomble has context. Don't call anyone a cockwomble. I saw that comment out there.
Yeah, but I personally don't give a crap. Call me a cockwombat, call me whatever the hell you want. No. Me personally.
Yeah.
Me. Because at the end of the day, like, you're frustrated about a piece of content that we made. You sit and listen every week. I don't care. I'd prefer if you didn't, but it doesn't affect me that much.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I am totally fine. Like, and I'll say this, I am totally fine with anyone out there calling any one of us four a cockwomble. Just be nicer to each other.
Yeah, but the Discord's fine. I stopped paying attention to YouTube comments years ago, man. Like, I hear you lot go, yo, I was in there discussing. I'm like, nope. I don't know. Just, if you guys want to fight in the comments, as long as you're not being, you know, crazy with it, so I don't have to go in there and moderate it. You want to disagree with each other? Go ahead. But everything else, I truly am not gonna get involved. Like, that is your place to have those discussions. And you boys do what you want, but I know how I handle things. I've been doing this long enough. Again,
quickly on that, I was going to say, like, the You're Wrong section. Like, I think, yeah, our version of that is kind of user comments and questions, right? Like, if there's something in there, more often than not, we'll read it and discuss it. If we've got, like, a number wrong or something from the week before. I think the difference is, like, if we'd said Starfield was a 4 on Metacritic and then just started chatting about that and we were clearly wrong about it and somebody pointed out we talk about it. But if it's an opinion, right, and it's like, I think Starfield is a 4, for an example. Not saying that, but I think you're Starfield is a 4 is an opinion.
Everybody
telling
write
us that we're wrong about
write,
that is...
Write comments about Matt now.
Yeah, it's a different thing, right, in a different discussion. It's still maybe a discussion worth having. But yeah, I think we try and like fact check on the fly. I don't love to be like, especially my old setup, like reaching over at the laptop to try and type out something to see if Fresh was right about the release date of Ghost Recon Breakpoint or something.
I assume he was.
The audio crashed.
He wasn't.
It was February something whenever it came out.
I mean,
for
February
sure.
Something's better than I could ever manage, but there we go. So yes, so if you want to point us out, us being wrong, please do. Do it in the YouTube comments, do it in the Discord, do it wherever, and I'm sure we will chat about it at some point. But yes.
Yeah, I respect what you're saying, Wheelie. I do. I think we just have a different way of doing things, honestly. It's just not that. It was October 4th, by the way, Chris, you were wrong.
Well, it's kind of funny. Terrible crash. There you go. Fact check on the fly. You're shit. Put him in a timeout. I think the difference with the kind of funny you're wrong section as well is that happened live on the fly because the episodes go out live and there are people in the comments who are moderating.
Do you know what the difference is? There's 10,000 people watching. Exactly. Like we do this again. We do this as a passion project, like every week, once a week for 2 to 3 hours, you know, like it's just not, it's not the same, you know, we don't have the same resources is what I would say. So yeah. All right, let's jump into what's been in our box. It's been Christmas. What have you been playing? I'm kicking off. I played Baldur's Gate 3 all Christmas Day.
What a shock. I am shocked.
Off with Hayley?
Yeah, of course. We played all day today. We played all day Christmas Day. Man, what a video game. I thought it was good in hour 10, and then I thought it was really good at hour 20, and now I'm at hour 50 or 45, and I'm like, yeah, I still haven't got to Baldur's Gate. And I've just done, I don't want to say too much. One of my main characters has now left me because I've done something. And I'm like heartbroken over that because I hadn't spent enough time with them. But I've kept someone around that I don't really like, but because I've built them up and they're really strong, I need them with me at all times. And yeah, it's just little things, little things.
Everybody levels up at the same rate, regardless of how much you use them.
I know, but I just, because I haven't put it this, who's the mage who you have to feed magic?
Gale.
I've not spoken to Gale once.
Interesting.
I just don't care. But it's not, he didn't leave, but someone else that I was romantically pursuing has left me. I'm a little upset. But yeah, honestly, that game, it keeps on building and building and building into something that I did this one, we done like this, I don't want to say too much, but like there was this gauntlet thing we did. And I was like, huh, how flipping cool is that? Like, I really enjoyed that. And something's just gone, we had to do a fight. I think it took us like 15 reloads because I just saved it the really worst time. And Hayley was like, we're not going to be able to get through this. I'm like, we are. Stick with me. We'll get through it. And we did in the end. And the payoff from that alone, of like being able to defeat this person, and then the whole outcome of it was just like, this is stupidly amazing. Like, such a remarkable video game. Like, remarkable. So,
you know what, as well, it's like,
4 out of 10.
You say, yeah, 4 out of 10 for sure. You saying that you've put like 20, 30 hours into it now. For like somebody who plays D&D, even that, and I know you don't play D&D all that much, but like, I've never played a 30-hour D&D campaign because trying to get the 5 people you need together in a room at that time, right? Like, I think the most D&D I've ever played is with Paul. And we played, like, probably, like, a 10, 12-hour campaign or something that felt short, right? So you being able to really get that feel for D&D on your own or with Hayley, you know, whatever it is, is fucking magic. Like, that game is absolutely magic.
I really don't want to overstate it. Like, and again, I feel like when you mention D&D, it scares people away. And like, it just doesn't need to. It's the perfect balance of RPG storytelling and some dice rolls. Like, I know for a fact there are so many elements that I am not doing in this game that I'm going to play with you guys and you're going to go, yeah, I'm doing this. And I'm going to go, what? You can do that, you know? And just little things like that. But I don't care because I'm having my experience right now with it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so good. So good. Like, it has set a new standard for video games for me in a way that I think is unfair to other games.
Yeah, that was the conversation, right? When it came out, all these devs coming out being like, "Well, now, please don't expect Baldur's Gate from our next game."
and I kind of do expect it now. So, I feel like I said this, I was saying this early on in the series consoles, life cycles, and it's not early anymore, right? But I was like, there hasn't been a game-defying game for the console yet. There hasn't. I kept saying that. That was something I would say often, which was like, there hasn't been. There's nothing this. There's not. There has obviously been things, but I was saying like, I don't feel like there's been a game that couldn't have launched on the Xbox One outside of like graphical fidelity and things like that. Obviously, I understand the hardware needs to get better, but like from a gameplay, the pure fact that I can be over there on a map and Haley can be over there on a map, and we can both do storylines that then bring us back around in a circle back to each other, mind-boggling. And I know that's not how everyone plays the game, and I'll be honest, it's kind of confused us a little bit at this moment in time. We've been going back, finishing off quests, and being like, wait, what did... Oh, yeah, we did that. Perfect. Yeah. But, like, that's just how we've enjoyed playing it. It's just so good. So good.
How many times you had this conversation was like, what did you do to that guy? Because I've never met them.
Yeah, no, yeah. We had it at this big boss fight where, like, I led the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we're pretty good about, like, you've been doing this storyline, so I'll let you take charge. Or I've been doing this, so I take charge. And I accidentally went first. And he was like, your character's not even met this person. Like, and I'm like, okay, I'll just do what you want me to do then. Like, what do you want me to click? Like, No, it's not the same. I'm like, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. But yeah, I can just see him. I was talking to my brother-in-law yesterday, and he was like, he's doing a... What one's the character where you've got an evil voice in your head?
Oh, yeah.
So he was saying, like, I've done a playthrough of that, and it's dramatically different. And I'm like, I didn't even know that existed. And it's like, I can just imagine how different this game is by playing not a barbarian and playing an elf or playing even a human, and like everyone just sniggering at you the whole time. Like, just like those little things. And I'm just, once I beat this game, it's definitely one of those games where I'm like, oh yeah, this is not going to be an old game's old. This is definitely going to be I'll start my own little campaign over here, and when I'm bored, I'll do this.
Like, new one is new. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, that's about
the character I want to play when we play. I'm very excited.
So have I, actually. Like, while playing, I'm like, because I want, I don't want to say too much, but yeah, I want to play something very different. So I actually have to role play the character in a way that's very different. So yeah. Matt, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Dave the Diver. It's been my little catch up Christmas game. Fucking great. It's brilliant. It's like every itch that like I got from like what's the name of the game I'm looking for? Stardew Valley. Like simplified in just the right ways and just like, yes, give me more, give me more, give me more. And so I'm thoroughly enjoying that. And now, yeah, like love it and can't wait to play the Dredge crossover DLC that they brought out. Because yes, it makes perfect sense. And can't wait to see what that is. Can't wait to see what that is. And like loads of Jackbox games and party games and stuff over Christmas, which are all great.
Nice.
Actually, Jackbox Party Pack 10, bit weak.
Yeah. What one's that? What games are
the latest one? The latest one.
What they got?
There's like a rhythm based one. I can't remember the name of it. And then they did like the T-shirt competition TKO2, which I think is a bit of a weak one.
I don't like that one either.
There's quite a good trivia one that's based on like guessing the year that something happened. That's quite good.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. That's quite good.
Should we do Jackbox for New Year? Jackbox. Not New Year's Day, but like for our first stream back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Be down. That's a good idea.
If we're all jumping on together. Are we really not going to play Baldur's Game? Are we really going to put that off?
I just really want to play Baldur's Game.
Are we really going to put that off?
Well, that's the face of somebody who really wants to play Baldur's Game.
I was just thinking, like, a welcome back, like, yo, we're back. Let's get people into the rhythm of us being back. We'll play some Jackbox together.
I'm just going to make every answer I give on Jackbox a Baldur's Gate themed.
Can you just make it a hint towards whatever character you're going to play? Like, everything you do? Sure.
I've got two ideas.
Are we role playing Jackbox? Is that what's happening now?
Okay. As the like characters it. We're gonna play in the Baldur's Gate. This is how they first meet up.
We did that with NoPixel. Yeah, so with me and the MDMR, like the record label I was a part of, we did that. All of our answers were in character. It was very interesting. It was a fun game. It was a fun time. Despawn, we've been playing
so many games. So let's just start with a couple of things I've already been playing. Alan Wake 2, been playing a bit more of that. Nothing much has changed.
You're not done yet?
No, well,
oh, you're I'm, in New Game Plus.
I'm doing good, New Game Plus, yeah, the final draft. So I'm about, I want to say, a quarter of the way through the story again. I finally did the Wii Sing episode again. So yeah, I'm doing all the good stuff.
Yeah, about a quarter through them.
Yeah, yeah. And then putting a bit more time into Avatar. I don't see me finishing that game. I don't want to give it the whole it's Far Cry with Avatar, but it's giving me the same kind of vibes that I have with the Far Cry series, that basically it's option paralysis of where I'll just like, I'll see the map and I'll be like, I've got better things to be doing with my time. And I think I'm getting to that point. I've definitely got to that open section of the game where I'm just like, you can go off and do all of these things and see all these different tribes. And I'm just like, I don't want to.
Have you got your Ikran?
No, not yet.
Flying boy.
I'm on that. That. I'm on
Mainline
that.
Line it to there.
That's what I've heard. I heard as soon as you get that, it's pretty much.
Because then you can legit do whatever you want, right? Like, okay. You do definitely get that, like, so many things to do. And if I want to go do that thing, I'm going to be running for ages. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get distracted by 10 things. You get your Ikran, you can at least then actually pick what you want to do.
Right.
And like get to places and da da da. Like I was spending ages like parkouring up mountains to try and get this flower up here so I get more health. And then you get your Ikran, you're just like, oh, I could have just land skydive next to it, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So do that.
I really like it. I know, yeah. I've only played what I've played for UB. But every time I play, I'm like, oh yeah, this game's very pretty and I actually quite like it.
In that game's defense, I don't think anybody I've seen speak on it that has played it has said anything negative. Like, they might not be, like, the most overly positive, like, oh my god, 10 out of 10 game.
Oh, it's not that, yeah.
Very, very good, like, 8s, 9s, 7s-ish.
I'm 7, 8, 9. Not even 9, go back. Yeah. 7, 8.
7 and 8.
7, 8. 7, 8. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, again, like I say, everything I've played of it, it's got the same hallmarks of Far Cry that I didn't like. So, like, I've never finished a Far Cry game. I've put loads of hours into
it. Crazy.
I know, but there's just something about those games I've just, like, I don't know what it is. But after a certain point, I'm just like, okay, I'm doing the same thing again and again. And it's like, I'm good. I've got the experience I wanted out of this game.
Well, you're just mainlining. That's what I did. Like, I don't think it's a problem, but again, I am a Ubisoft fan. Like, take away any of my work relations. I love Ubisoft games, right? Like, I'm in the perfect job right now. They do the thing where it's very much the first opening couple of hours is usually very tutorial-based, which is like, this is what the loop is going to be. So once you get through that, usually what I do is I get through that, and then I mainline whatever the main story is, and then I go back and do camps and things like that. That's how I play Ubisoft games, where other people will do literally everything and then get burnt out very quickly.
That's my problem. Want to mainline, but I've got this OCD element when it comes to gaming, where if I see something, which we'll talk about another game that I'm playing at the moment, but if I see something on a map or in like the distance, I'm like, right, well, I've kind of got to go over there and see what that is.
No, you can't. Just.
Yeah, I can't, like I say, I can't stop and just like, all right, I'm gonna go finish the story and then I'll come back. Like, I have to do everything. And I think that's my problem with these kind of games. Like, Avatar is, like you say, for what it is great, but it gives me too many options to just go, all right, I need to go click on that thing. I need to collect that. I need to scan everything around me so I can go pick up that. Oh, I need to take out this little camp. But it's like, no, I need to stop for my own good. Otherwise, I'm not playing anything else.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. Which, talking of things that have been played. Go on.
No, I was going to say, I think the like disappointing aspect of that is like, you do the thing and you don't always feel like, oh, that was well worth doing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just another camp like the one I did before. Mm-hmm. It's just another flower that gave me a little bit more health or whatever. And you compare that to something like, maybe it's an unfair comparison, but something like a Zelda, where it's constantly like, what's that thing over there? And then you go do it and you're like, that was incredible. Oh my God, come on. Like, yeah.
I don't like Zelda.
Well, yeah.
My mind went to Elden Ring when we would talk about that. It was always like, oh, you have so many different dungeons. There's so many different corners you can go in places, and you always got something in return for that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very needed thing in open worlds to a degree.
Yeah. The payoff is always worth the amount of time you put into it. Whereas so far for Avatar, it's like, cool, you got another weapon part. Collect 12 more to upgrade once.
I feel like it's more a case of like with especially with Ubi games, right? Like, it's very much a You do things how you want to, and that's how the game is designed. Like, it may be the same but different, mm-hmm. but you are the reason why it's the same but different. If you decide, like me, I play games very much shooter heavy, right? Or power and forward heavy, right? Where the game very much is designed of, like, you can sneak, you could be heavy, you could do this, you could go under that bridge, you could do this. But we view it more as just like, oh, it's the same thing over and over. It's like, well, it's not, but I can see why someone might come out of the experience with, like, yeah, run in, shoot everything, run away. Run in, yeah. shoot everything, run away. Like, if that's how you choose to play the game, then the game's not going to force you to do it in a certain type of way, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, again, my argument is not the play style is the problem. It's the loop yeah. is the problem. There it is. There's a Christmas Understood. Tree. And then Understood. Two other things I played. Just after all of the Kojima talk we had recently, I decided to jump back into Death Stranding. So I restarted the director's cut. Playing it on easy makes it a ton of fun. Like, just getting a ton of items and weapons and stuff and just taking on big enemies and stuff. So the problem that I had with Death Stranding before, it was very much like sneak everywhere, get caught, run away, sneak everywhere, get caught, run away.
That's now Metal Gear.
Yeah, but Metal Gear had the, you know, the at least the semblance of fun in the combat. Whereas the combat in Death Stranding is very much as it felt secondary when I was playing it previously. But now that I've got to the point where I'm like, here's a grenade made of blood, throw it at things and it'll blow up. It's great. And the fact that I'm playing it on super easy means I can just like collect a pocket full of grenades and just take out enemies like bosses in like 4 grenade hits. It's great because I can just carry on with the story, which is the reason I want to play this game, because the story seems amazing. The combat seemed very in the way at the time.
Matt's in pain from your
comment. Matt is in pain.
No. I'm not a Kojima story guy. And so when, you know, there are two different characters and they're called Death Hardman and something else.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh, what the fuck is going on?
Dead Man, Guy Hardman, Hartman.
Yeah, exactly.
Mama.
Does playing on easy affect your weight capacity?
No, not that I've seen, but I think you get more, well, you get more likes and then you get, as you get those more likes, it increases your weight capacity. So it kind of builds up quicker a little bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And obviously if you are speed running, like I'm trying to do at the moment, you will get to certain points in the game where you'll get unlock abilities that will make it a ton easier to like ferry gear around.
Sure. So, yeah. I think when I played it, I came to it late. And I think I said at the time in the podcast, like, I was playing it offline mm-hmm. and then turned it online after maybe like 10, 15 hours and realized that's basically like activating easy mode because you mm-hmm. start collaborating with other people who've built the same stuff. So it makes it really interesting. I think it would have been interesting to be involved in that review conversation when people were reviewing it and there was like a lot less activity going on, but some, and you'd probably recognize more of the people that you had activity from because it would be the other reviewers and stuff. Like, I think that would have been like a really interesting sort of time capsule, and it makes those reviews quite interesting and different from what the actual sort of played game for the general public would have been. But
I would say, yeah, now that the world is populated by a ton of items and like pathways and things like that, makes the game so much easier as well.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see like how where people have built stuff and how the signposts are working and things like that.
Also, I just realized the video's not out yet, but it's because you edited that Death Stranding video for me, right? That's why you jumped back in.
One of the reasons, And we were talking about OD and Death Stranding 2 coming up as well. Maybe go like, you know what? I'm going to jump in. I'm going to play it. Yeah. Give it a go. But yeah, I'm having a ton of fun with it at the moment. I think I'm finally getting to the point where I got to in the original version. But now everything that I own is gold, which is fun. I've got a gold hat and gold sunglasses, which make me like an idiot. Just delivering. I'm the worst looking Amazon driver ever. It's great.
Damn. I mean, that definitely isn't true.
Yeah.
That definitely
isn't true. I mean, I've just remembered some of the deliveries I've had recently. Jeez. And then finally, one I think maybe Crash, I don't know if you tried to do this one as well. I played the Tekken 8 demo.
No.
You did not?
Boo, Crash. Boo.
He's not a Tekken fan. Crash don't like Tekken.
No. I'm looking forward to
Crash
Tekken.
Crash hates Tekken. Crash hates
I'm
Tekken.
I'm looking forward to Tekken. You heard it first. Tekken. I didn't like any of the characters in Tekken.
I heard that Crash got demo. Tekken Tag Tournament for Christmas one year. That's not true. He doesn't celebrate Christmas. But for Christmas one year, and his brother kicked him in the face, and he said, I'm never playing Tekken Tag Tournament again. So he swore off Tekken forever.
Specifically because of the kick in the face that happened in real life and not the game. It hurt me so much. that I hated on Christmas Day. But I never played that game.
I did hear that he kicked him in the face, then stole his phone and gave my Xbox Me 5-star.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
So, my Xbox Me's first ever 5-star review. It before it was even a podcast.
It was 20 years in the future.
I'm going to leave this now, so for your first episode, no. That was number one. But yeah, Tekken 8 demo. Only 4 characters. No online mode, which was disappointing. It was all offline stuff. Very interested to see what the full game is going to play like. I had a lot of fun with the demo. The new, expanded combat controls make it a little bit simpler. It's very much more of a button mashy, but, you still got elements of combos in there. Very interesting. The heat system is a ton of fun. I am very excited to see what the professionals do with that, because I'm definitely not one of them. But, yeah, no, I'm very excited. Sad that my boy Harang wasn't in there in the demo, but I know he's in there the full game, so I'm very excited to be a kicky boy when it launches next month.
That game was cooked. I'm excited for it. I played Cyberpunk. I've been playing the expansion. I've stopped playing the rest of the game.
Oh, you stopped playing? Okay, yeah.
I'll never get through I want to get through the expansion before next week.
Yep.
Played more Sea of Stars as well, because I want to try and finish that before next week as well. Both of those continue to be amazing experiences that I'm very much so enjoying. And I've also played more Lethal Company, which I still think we should do a stream of at some point for the podcast. That game is so good. It is one of my favorite games to come out this. Well, it's early access, so it's not technically out.
Yeah.
It is one of my favorite games to come out this year. And I would argue that it's up there with Baldur's Gate 4.
Damn. Question.
Woo!
Yeah.
So I've obviously seen gameplay of the game and the loop and stuff. How long is from a full session from start to end? Let's just assume you don't finish the quota.
You could end it and then you can continue. Oh, if you don't finish the quota at the end, it just.
I know, but how long would you say that general loop would be?
Maybe 40-ish minutes if you don't finish the first quota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that if
we never really. I've never really kept track of it, I wouldn't really know.
Yeah, I'm just assuming that if we played it together, we would not finish the first quota.
Oh, we'll finish the first.
I mean, maybe not. Right? I'm gonna say
we have Fix with us. Fix will carry us.
True, Fix will carry us. Yeah,
I've never even seen the gameplay.
That's a lie.
I've seen the
game. So good.
I saw the graphics for it and was like, I am not interested.
Oh no, I've seen enough of the gameplay.
I was with you. You have to play it. It's
I agree. I know you've spoken highly enough of it that I'm down to play it, but
I've never had a game have me scared 1 second and then laughing my ass off literally the next second so fast and do that so consistently. That game is so good.
Okay.
Are you playing with a squad?
Yeah, I'm playing with a squad. I don't think if you don't have people to play that game with, I don't think that game's worth it. I'm pretty sure you can search up other people's games to join. Maybe people enjoy it, but I don't think that's where the fun of that game would be for me.
No, it's definitely about getting a full squad together and just having fun that. I'm trying not to say anything about the loop because I want Fix to go in fresh to this.
Ooh, fair enough. All right, let's jump into this week's dashboard. We've got a few pieces of news. Number one bonus piece of news: I'm finally moving.
Whey!
Yes.
Yay!
After years and years of talking about on this podcast, I am finally moving. We got a moving date on the 12th of next month. So things probably won't change here for the podcast or streams or anything like that for probably the rest of the month as we transition into getting in there and stuff like that put in. But yes, I am officially moving finally. I showed the boys the place last week and they were approval of it, and I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. We went sofa shopping yesterday and I am.
You got me a nice sofa to sleep on when I'm over, Fix.
We've decided we was gonna go with we want to get a corner sofa, right? Mm-hmm. And you can get corner sofas with sofa beds in them. We was gonna do that. Instead, we're not doing that, and now we're getting a corner sofa, and then we're buying the large the footstools? We call them something else,
yeah,
right?
The
footstools. You know what I'm trying to say, but I don't want to sound on the podcast for our listeners from around the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. But
you know what I mean?
Yeah, the British term for it.
Yeah.
All right. Wait,
I think it's called a futon.
I wouldn't call it a cigarette. I would call a cigarette a cigarette here.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Right? Anyway, so it sort of slots into the sofa and then it makes like a double bed.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I can still put a sheet on it. It's very, me and Haley, we were literally in the sofa store laying on it, making sure it's comfortable. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a pull out sofa bed in my office as well. So we can sleep multiple people.
That is my plan for the corner as well.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. Very excited. So
a bit bonus, for the hot tub stream, that's getting fitted. Right?
No, but all jokes aside, though, like, we can actually do, like, you lot can just come down for, like, the weekend, and, like, we can just make content.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If you ain't got a hot tub, I don't want to know that.
Yeah, I'm like, if I don't get to hang out with Matt in a hot tub, I don't want to know.
Crash, you're invited, fam, but it's going to be a bit of a long travel for you, my friend. But yeah, no, I'm super excited, super excited. But first piece of real news, Microsoft announces more Xbox leadership changes as Activision's Bobby Kotick departs. Woo!
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Sorry, what?
Which are witched?
The Kotick witch.
Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick is stepping down officially December 29th. Microsoft has not appointed a new director replacement and instead has rolled the suit of Activision Blizzard executives, including Blizzard's president Mike Iribarra, Activision's publishing president Rob
Kostick.
And Activision Blizzard's vice chair Thomas Tipple, under Microsoft Game Content and Studios president Matt Booty. I'm not gonna lie, it kind of makes me, every time I see Mike back with Xbox, I'm like, he left Xbox to go to Activision to find himself back under the Xbox blanket.
Both him and Rod as well. From
oh yeah, I forgot about Rod. Yeah,
he's at Diablo now. He's working on Diablo.
Of course he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Funny how it works out.
Yeah.
Well, it was an inside job, guys. It was an inside job.
Clearly,
they knew.
The call is coming from inside the building.
We can get our people in there early, we'll buy it, boom, we're good. But yeah, obviously, fantastic news about Bobby getting his ass out of there. We do not care. I'm not even, honestly, I don't really want to talk about it too much. He's gone. We never have to think about the man again.
Yeah, until he turns out he's taking over PlayStation after Jim Ryan leaves.
That would be an insane play for Sony to make.
This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah. All I'll say is I'm so glad to see the doll hit you where the good Lord split you. Na-na-na-na. Goodbye.
Next up, Bethesda reports huge numbers for Starfield. This was put out on their X/Twitter account. Thank you to the millions of players who have made the settled system their home over the past few months since #Starfield's launch. From the highly requested features like city maps and new ways to travel to official mod support, we've launched of creations. We are working hard to make sure 2024 is a huge year for Starfield, and we couldn't do any of this without your feedback and support. They had hours building ships. 26 million?
Yeah.
26 million. Planets visited, that's 1.9 billion, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And outpost settlers, 4 million. And then days played, 22,284,331. Average playtime of each player is around 40 hours. Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Big numbers. Big numbers coming out of Starfield. Yeah. I'm happy for them. Yeah. I'm very happy for them.
I'm interested to see what the future holds for it. Like, so I've seen some good stories and bad stories about this. So, like, obviously the good news is that they've mentioned here, getting city maps, getting mod support, all that kind of stuff. Talking to the mod support, I did see that the team that were working on worked on the Skyrim Together mod. They cancelled the Starfield version of it because,
and their reasoning,
the world is boring. Apparently,
there you go.
I personally don't agree with that.
The Skyrim Together?
Online. Co-op? It's like online co-op. Yeah,
got it.
They did more than just that, though, right? They were like one of the most prolific modders mm-hmm. of the community, and then yeah. they got to Starfield and was just like, this isn't eh. worth it.
Yeah, I think I don't know what the drop off has been like for Starfield. I'm not again. Tell us in the comments. Well, but yeah,
40 hours for your average player is insane, especially when it's on Game Pass. Mm-hmm. Like you gotta I've always assumed that Game Pass was a good opportunity for people to dip in and dip the fuck out of a game if they didn't like it after a couple of hours, or even an hour, or even less. But 40 hours for your average player is kind of crazy.
Yeah, but the people who like really love Starfield, I'd imagine they're at like 300+ hours, right? They're like deep into that game.
I think,
well, and there's some people that are like 10 hours and stuff like that, and so it averages out at 40. So I don't think.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, but
like because obviously
still crazy.
Yeah, story was that like I mean, no spoilers, but like the game doesn't really open until you complete that game multiple times. So I'm I can see why there'd be a high play. Yeah, I know. Matt's like, oh no.
Well, maybe I need to finish it one day. I don't know, man.
There's almost 16,000 people playing it right now on Steam. So
it's huge.
Yeah, just Steam alone. Yeah.
Huge is maybe a bit
for a single player story that came out months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
And that's also a platform where people have had to pay for that game. Mm-hmm. You know, like specifically. Whereas
I'd be very interested to see how many people are still playing on Game Pass.
Yeah, I agree.
To bring up your point of like, yeah,
Skyrim's got 3,000 on Steam right now.
Oh, yeah,
that's pretty impressive. Then
to put things into perspective of that, comparing the two, like,
Is it safe to assume, maybe not, that the majority of PC players are playing through Xbox and not Steam?
No.
Do you know what, Matt? I would have said yes to you, but I disagree. Only because I've got enough of experience from working with Ubi. The amount of people who come into chat like, is this on Steam? No, I'm not playing it. I'm not playing it, period. Yeah. So, no, I would imagine there's probably more people playing it on Steam than there are even on Xbox Game Pass.
There's a reason everybody like creates their own browsers and then eventually just ends up Steam. Putting stuff on Steam because people just won't move from Steam. Steam just has such a strong chokehold on the PC market.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But then console players argue about DRM and it's like, dude, you've been using Steam forever. Come on.
Yeah. You know what? 16,000 is a lot. Like, I shouldn't. Yeah.
It is a lot.
No, it is a lot. Yeah. You guys have convinced me it's a lot.
We did it, people. Convinced him.
Next up, Microsoft just paid $76 million for a Wisconsin pumpkin farm? I don't know what's going on here. A Wisconsin family has agreed to sell 407 acres of their land, which includes a local pumpkin farm attraction, to Microsoft for a total of $76 million. Sorry, I changed my Invisalign trade today.
Milwaukee.
Thank you. Milwaukee Business Journal. The local government initially offered the Kruziger family in Mountain Pleasant, Wisconsin, about a third of the sum in 2017 as part of an agreement with Foxconn Technology Group, but the family refused, opting to hold out for a better offer. Good for them. Mm-hmm. I love this story.
Yeah.
Good for them. Because you've got to imagine, if they accepted 76, they probably got offered maybe in the 20s, I would have said, and went, nah.
We're good.
Nah, and I don't even, and this is like, you know, this is just the rich getting richer. If you've got that much land, you're already still rich. But good for them to hold that and be like, nah, we're looking for some real generational wealth money, you know? Like, we want some FU money, which don't get me wrong, 20 million is still FU money. But good for them. This is congratulations.
This is FU money now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just for a little bit of context, 407 acres is about 310 football fields, give or take.
Oh yeah. Well, so I mean,
hell of a lot of space.
Haley's on the ranch. The first ranch I went to had 25 acres, and I almost had a heart attack. Because again, in London, we don't see land, right? Like, so for me to turn up on this house and they're like, "Yeah, we own from here to, and I'm like, and my head just went, why do you not just build flats? It's so bad, isn't it? Like that's the Londoner in me. It's like, build some flats, rent them out, make all this money. And it's like, no, that's not what we do here. We want this land. It's our cows, and that's our sheep, and that's, and I'm like,
where would the sheep live?
What? I'm like, is that bro? The sheep can live over that sheep side. The flat can build there. What do you mean?
I don't need all this land.
Exactly. But a lot of land. So yeah, congratulations to them.
The big thing for this one is the fact that they're also getting a pumpkin attraction.
I can't wait.
The land, which also
is going to be...
Yeah, the land of the Giants pumpkin farm. I'm just saying, Grounded IRL is looking like it's going to be popular. It's going to be actually a thing that happens, and I'm excited for it.
How exciting would it be if they were like, and we're going to build Xbox World, like Disney World, but for Xbox.
That would be closed down in 6 months.
Never happened.
The end goal here for Microsoft is to build a large data center campus in the area. So looks like they're going to put about $1 billion into it. So congrats to them. We got one that we missed from last week, which Despawn added, which is the head of gaming at Disney offers insight about the company's strategy. The things you need to know here really are Sean Shoptal? Ow?
Yeah.
Senior VP of gaming at Disney recently offered his thoughts and insight about the range of topics during an interview with, how the hell did you say that?
Axios,
thank you. Says the company is very happy with its licensing agreements, which sees Disney work with acclaimed developers to create games based on its franchises. The firm also isn't concerned about Machine Games' upcoming Indiana Jones game being overly
exclusionary.
Exclusionary? What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Basically exclusive, yeah.
Oh. Okay. Interesting.
Basically, they're not worried about it being an Xbox exclusive.
It is, but it's on PC, so like, who cares? You know what I mean?
I'm guessing that's why he's not worried, yeah.
Yeah, as an Xbox exclusive, and believes it will still reach a broad set of folks. And in regards to Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake, that is reportedly isn't being worked on right now. Shoptal didn't say much, but says KOTOR is an incredibly popular game, one that we are incredibly proud of, and think there's still a lot of demand for. So, yeah, a little bit of context there on some things. I mean, okay, here's the question for you guys. And this feels like a very, you know, a question that someone was writing with. So if you had to pick one Disney IP that isn't currently being worked on, what would you want?
You
Disney as a whole, not just superhero. Yeah.
Disney as a whole.
Yeah.
An IP that isn't being worked on.
Disney own Fox now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
Simpsons Hit and Run.
Simpsons Hit. Hey, yo, chill. That's mine.
I was saying yours. I don't care about Simpsons Hit and Run. So.
Simpsons Hit and Run would be me 100%. If you or just an open world. It doesn't even have to be Simpsons Hit and Run. A open world. That sounds crazy. I haven't watched Simpsons probably in 6 years. Like, but I was there's still an affinity there for that franchise. You know,
Stick of Truth, Simpsons me. That's what I want. Come on.
See, I would rather Family Guy.
I'm not saying the gameplay. I'm just
saying.
No.
Like, I know what you're saying.
Make the best version of that game for that franchise.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't feel like Hit and Run is necessarily it. Maybe it is, but yeah.
We'll see how many people like Crazy Taxi when that drops and see if people are excited about another, like, kind of action arcade racing game.
Crazy. No, you're thinking of Simpsons Road Rage.
Hit and Run was their
GTA version. You're thinking Road Rage, mate. Simpsons Road Rage. Yeah. No, different.
Okay.
Very different.
Fresh?
Or Despawn, have you gone?
No, I got nothing right now. I'm still thinking, let Despawn go.
I want them to go all out and make a single player, like, dense jungle Predator game. Like,
oh, no. Oh,
they own Predator?
Yeah, it's 20th Century Fox.
It will never happen, bro. Like, we've had too many bad... The problem is we've had too many bad Alien games. We've had too many bad Predator games to ever get a good one of either of those two things.
Predators had good games.
The last Predator game was pretty good. The asymmetrical horror.
Was okay.
It was okay.
It was so good. It was so good that... How many hours you put in it?
I didn't say it was good. Well,
maybe you just said it was good.
Predator had a good game back in the day. I forget which one it was. I forget what it was called. I just remember that I played it. I got it on a...
Was it a side-scrolling Alien vs. Predator game?
No. No, I'm pretty sure it was a third-person game.
Oh.
It was a third-person stealth game, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that.
There was like,
I was very young. I remember really enjoying it.
Alien Isolation was the last good Alien game, to be fair to you.
That's true. See, something like that, but like a nice single-player, story-rich Predator game where you are being hunted by the Predator in the jungle as a squad. Like, your squad's being taken out.
Give me a game where you play as the Predator.
I mean, I would be okay with that.
That's what that game was. That game you played as the Predator. The game I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that game.
Yeah.
Matt?
I'd be with that.
I ain't really got one. Like, Deadpool came to mind, but also I'm like, actually, I kind of don't want that.
Did you play the Deadpool game on the PS3, Xbox 360?
Yeah, the North one.
No, North one, yeah.
Yeah, it was fine, right? It was what you'd kind of expect that thing to be. Like, I wouldn't really expect it to be anything else. Yeah, I kind of just keep thinking about all the different Simpsons games that came out now that was like, oh, yeah, just redo the arcade game, right? And, like, even the wrestling game I remember playing and liking.
Oh, the wrestling game was amazing.
Was it? Okay, good. Yeah, like, objectively good or, like, nostalgia good? I don't know.
No. It was actually up there with, like, the WWE games at the time. It was a lot. It was very good. It was very good. Yeah, it was,
like... to play as Ned Flanders and, like, call the power of God on people.
Yeah. Simpsons Hit and Run, man. Simpsons Hit and Run, please. All right, let's quickly get through. Oh, whose week is it for Guess That Game this week? Who is it?
Don't know. I did last week, so
I can do it.
Yeah, go on then, Matt. Have you got a game in your head?
I actually don't, but I can get one. Hold on.
If you don't know what Guess That Game is, it is a game we play on the podcast every week. I've got some ideas to change it up every week, by the way.
Ooh, go on then.
Yeah, so I think I might start doing blank. So I'll give five. So I'll bring out five things in the gaming industry, but I won't tell the order, and then you have to rank them 1 through 5. So we'll change it up. So, like,
okay.
I might say Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PC, Ouya, but I'll say Ouya first, so you've got to think where you put it in the list from 1 to 5.
Blind ranking.
So, exactly, blind ranking. I might start doing that. So we're gonna change it up a little. There's gonna be a few things we change up, and you'll see it on the socials, I'm sure. So
okay, I have a game. Let me just put up the wiki.
Perfect. So yes or no questions, and Matt's gonna time us 1:30 to go through. Are you ready, Matt? Are you good to go?
Let me just get up a timer.
I'll go through the scores real quick. You got Crash at 3 points. You have Matt at 1 point, you have Despawn at 4 points, and you have me at 3 points.
And how long do I give you guys now? 90 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, are you ready? So we're going to go Fixer, Despawn, Crash.
Cool.
And I'm going to have to hold the timer like there, aren't I? Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Was it on the Xbox 360?
No.
Xbox One?
No.
Series X?
No.
Original Xbox?
Yes.
Okay. Exclusive?
No.
Action game?
No.
Was it published by a studio that Xbox own now?
No.
RPG?
No.
First-person shooter?
Let's get publisher. Capcom? Do they publish it?
Rockstar?
No.
EA?
EA.
Is it a sports title?
It is a sports title.
Is it an annualized sports title?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Is it a street version of a game?
No.
A blitz version of the game?
No.
Does it have skateboards?
Oh. Okay.
No.
Snowball. Oh, it's not my goat. Crash.
Snowboarding? Is it snowboarding?
It has snowboards in it, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I know what it is.
You have to ask a question. Ask a random question if you don't want to give anything.
Does the title start with Fricky?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I'm going to say, does it have a music tie-in?
Huh? Time's up, guys. Do you want to have a guess as to what the game was?
Yeah, I could have
a
guess.
We only need the series, right? We only need the series, so, you know. Anyway,
oh, well, all right, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we say the series on the podcast that will that not get
you don't know, Crash?
Demonetized?
I have
That's why
no
I didn't
clue.
Give it away. That's why okay. I didn't give
I
it away.
I have no clue whatsoever.
I know he doesn't.
Let me tell you, right now, I got no clue.
Well, I'm going to Crash, you have to have the first guess.
You guess first, then, yeah.
I'm going to write, before you do, I'm just going to write it down so I've got it in front of me here.
Uh-huh, me too.
Look, I was already panicking when you said sport game.
I mean,
I'm honest. There's no chance I know this
snowboarding game developed by EA and came out on the original.
He ain't got a clue.
What does that mean to me?
It means everything.
Do they make a Star Wars snowboarding game? I don't know. What do you want me to get
from
that?
Oh, I want that so much now. That's, what do you want me to? That's the Disney tie-in I want.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you can
snowboard,
just
go snowboard. I don't know. That's not,
no,
I don't know. I got no clue.
Correct. No, that's not correct.
Okay.
Go on, this one. You can say it. You can say it, and I will show you if I got it.
It is SSX Tricky.
It is indeed SSX Tricky. SSX, it is indeed.
Perfect.
It came
out in 2001 on PS2, GameCube, Xbox, and Game Boy Advance in 2002. Who knew? Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Points update. Crash. 3. Matt, we were going... 1.
Yeah,
okay. Despawn.
5.
4. Oh, 5. That's what I meant.
Yeah, don't... Yeah. You give me my point back, son.
Steal his Despawn point.
5,
steal
me
it.
4. That's where the stand is looking. Oh, end of the... That's that. It. Wait, that's it for the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
We start again next year. That's it, right?
Well done, Despawn.
Winner, winner, chicken
the
dinner.
Winner this year will be Despawn.
You gotta get him his trophy.
Guess that game champion 2023 is
can't
the
take
one
it away from
only.
Me.
Paul
I mean,
Despawn.
This was like a trial year.
It
does
was.
It count?
It was a trial yeah. year.
Hey,
you know, it was a trial year.
Don't take this away from me. All right?
I'm taking it away. You've been too sassy. You don't deserve this.
I definitely should not have volunteered to go there when I'm down
no,
one point. Like, I needed them points.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Last year, you were not winning. Yeah.
That's true. It's true. Even if I'd scored a point, I would have still been in last place. So,
if it was you, I would have gave you triple points.
I mean, what we've learned is the league is basically entirely predicated on attendance and not skill. So,
the rest of us stood up every week.
You're acting like you've only been here for 1 week of this.
You're damn right. That's what I'm acting.
Well, you are a bad actor with bad takes.
I think I have been a contestant fewer times than I have been a host, if you like.
Yeah. That is 100% accurate.
Do you know what I'm thinking about doing?
And I think I've only played twice or something. Go on.
I'm thinking about just being the host. So I'll come up with the games, and it's just me hosting. And
it would be
easier
for you to keep track of what games you've done, because I was really struggling there for a second. I was like, oh, I'll do Gears of War. No, we've definitely had that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, well, I'll do this. And
You do it again. That's your problem. You know what I mean? Do your stand. But yeah, I think maybe I'll just become the host type thing, you know? But we'll see. Well, like I said, we're changing it up. We'll see what happens. All right, Fixer Sack, remember to email in myxboxandme@gmail.com. Hit us up on the Discord, hit us up on the Twitter, you know all those good things. Last call for clips. We will be doing our Game of the Year episode next week. We'll be recording Tuesday, are we recording? Tuesday. So you have got literally the weekend to get it. Wait, what day are we on? I don't even know where we're at. What day is there? Wednesday?
It's currently Wednesday.
You've got the rest of the week.
Tuesday's second, yeah.
Yeah. This is your last call to get in your clip. So please, audio, video, and then just some suggestions as well. Hit us up, Discord or on Twitter or anywhere you want, TikTok, wherever. I've been tagged everywhere. So feel free to send them over. We do appreciate it. First question here. Comes from Origin Cookie Man. What games would you say passed under the radar, didn't make your Game of the Year list, but surprised you that their precious jewel-like quality, like a rare random diamond or ruby that would not usually be found in obvious place, or me?
Sorry, I think that's for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for me. Yeah. No, you're all good. Probably Punch Club 2 for me. It's not going to be up there. Again, it was my game I played while I was in Cyprus. That was the thing I played the whole time I was in Cypress. Angry Beyond No One's Game of the Year list, but what it is, it does very well, and it tells a story that was interesting enough to me that I wanted to carry on and finish it. So, yeah, I put 40 hours into it, I think. But yeah, Punch Club 2. Again, I was a fan of the first one. You know, time-based game, moving around. You know, it was, yeah, it was a perfect game for that, of like that rare game that I really love, but probably wouldn't be loved by everybody.
I'll throw one out there. There's a game called This Bed We Made that came out this year. It's the first game from that development team. It's a game where you clean hotel rooms and then start to uncover a bit of a mystery. It's pretty janky, and it kind of looks like it was, you know, a PS2 game. But it's pretty good. It's good for what it does. It's actually really well reviewed on Steam. I've just brought up the Steam page because I couldn't remember the name of it. And it's better reviewed than I would have assumed that it was. $20. If you like those kind of walking sim, you know, mystery games, it's worth checking out.
Fair enough. Baseball? Fresh?
I was going to say Iron Oath, which is a tactical game that's sort of like a mix up of, I wouldn't say XCOM exactly, but like that type of tactical aspect mixed with Darkest Dungeon, where you run a company and you're going to different cities and getting quests and building reputation with the cities while you're trying to chase down the people who sabotaged or betrayed your party. And it's a very interesting game that I very much so enjoy. I don't think it's out on Xbox, I will say that. I think it's only a PC game right now. I think that is probably the only game I can think of that would fit this category, to be honest, to say that it wouldn't be on my Game of the Year list, because I definitely have games that surprised me this year that will be on my Game of the Year list.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Correct myself. So you're wrong myself. This Bed We Made is on Xbox. So there
you go.
Fair. Okay. I've got two. One that isn't on Xbox and one that is. So the one that isn't is a game that I covered, co-provided, called Eternites, which is very much like a indie version of Persona. But with a bit more of a action hack and slash element to the combat. Similar kind of story where you're a kid solving a mystery, that kind of stuff. Very good. Love the kind of like the relationship elements and the way you can balance, like you can only do certain missions at certain times of the day kind of thing. And you've kind of got to balance your relationships with the combat and progressing the story. Very good. Love the art style. All the characters are really well designed and drawn. Again, that one's only out on PlayStation and PC, I believe. It didn't come to Xbox, which is a shame, because I think a lot of Xbox fans would love that one.
People I know have played that as well, love it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I haven't touched it. It's so not my sort of game, but
I definitely recommend it. Like, if you're even kind of like tangentially in, like interested in like those kind of like action RPG kind of games, with some relationship building stuff in there, definitely worth checking out. And then one that was on Xbox, which I don't know a lot of people liked at the time, but I've not seen a lot of people talk about it much, is one called Thirsty Suitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a weird amalgamation of like a ton of different genres that should not work together. So there's like a cooking sim element to it, there is a skateboarding element to it. There is like an RPG, like the combat is like turn-based combat, but it like every different weird element they nail perfectly, and then the story is very much about like immigrants coming to America and like what it's like to grow up in that kind of like culture as like an Asian family living in America. I think living in Canada, actually. Forgive me. But yeah, living in that kind of like environment and yeah, just like exploring that. But it's got like a ton of like humor in it as well. It's very much like Scott Pilgrim meets Cooking Mama, and it's weird and I love it.
Like it.
Okay.
And it's on Game Pass, so go play it.
Well, I just say, good round of hidden gems there, everybody. Like, yeah. We pulled some good ones out there and I didn't expect us to.
No, let's see if we put that some good ones in the next question, shall we? Ken Doyle says, are there games on Game Pass that you've tried and enjoyed that you wouldn't typically bought? I've got a few that I've tried and really enjoyed. Power Wash Simulator. That's number
one.
Yeah,
that's a good show.
That's number one. You would have. There is no way on God's given earth I would have given my money over to a game called Power Wash Simulator. Doesn't matter how much someone could have told me it was fun, it was good, it was this, it was that. Doesn't matter if it was £10. I would not have bought Power Simulator, but playing it on Game Pass, it was worth £50.
So great relaxing.
Game. Simple, yeah, so relaxing, simple in its premise of what it is. Similar to games the two that come to mind was that and Packed Out. Just those type of games where it's like easy premise, very relaxing, very enjoyable, but there is no way on earth I would have bought them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and then my other one would be Liza P. Like, if that was, I wouldn't have bought that game because I know that I wouldn't have got my money's worth out of that game. But the, I don't know how many hours I put into it, probably 5, 6, 7, something like that. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less. Yeah, I enjoyed it enough to have played it on Game Pass, and I was very happy with my experience with it. So those are the two that come to mind for me on Game Pass.
I mentioned one already, like Thirsty Suitors. Would not have bought that game myself, but like seeing it on Game Pass and seeing like a lot of people talking about it, like, I'll give it a go. And yeah, I put so many hours into that one. Another one, Cocoon is another one on there. And
you wouldn't have bought it?
No. I don't think I've ever bought any game from those studios. I've always like, I think Limbo.
Yeah, you're the indie guy.
I know, right? But I got Limbo Free. I think you got that as like when the Xbox One launched. It was like one of the first games with gold or something time. And then Inside, I think that was a Game Pass game, or I definitely didn't pay for it. I know that. But yeah, like I love both of their games, but I've never been like, all right, I need to play the next game. But then, yeah, Cocoon was on there. So it was on Game Pass. So like, I'm trying it out and I finished it in one sitting. And then, yeah, Jusant as well. A completely weird one from like Don't Nod. Didn't expect that kind of... There's a Christmas tree. Didn't expect that game to be as fun as it was. And that was when I finished in like two sittings. I played it till I felt like I was going to fall asleep and then woke up and finished it. But yeah, both amazing games that I probably wouldn't have picked up if it wasn't for them being on Game Pass.
Matt?
I can't really think of any that haven't already been mentioned, to be honest with you.
Okay. Fresh.
Cocoon wasn't
my favorite. Honest, I think I'm right there with Matt. I'm like looking through Game Pass right now.
Plague Tale would be on there for me. What else did I put? Go on.
Again, I've talked about it on previous episodes. I've never not really been one to jump into the Yakuza or the Like a Dragon series. Didn't talk about it earlier, but I completely forgot. I've started playing Man Who Erased His Name a bit more.
Oh, okay.
Loving my time with that game so far. Probably wouldn't have, don't think I would ever like firsthand buy one of their games. Although now I'm thinking I might have to buy Infinite Wealth when it comes out.
You 100% have to play Infinite Wealth.
Okay.
It'll be game of the year.
So excited for that game.
It's going to be game of the year. Have to. We'll do one more and then we'll get the hell out of here, all right? Eldozo says, what games have you surprised you either good or bad in 2023? We all know my answer. It goes without saying, and I'm putting it on the naughty step. Road 96, Mile Zero.
Oh, God,
the biggest letdown of the year.
That's so disappointing.
A game that was going to be a for sure must play game of the year contender if they just kept the same formula and kept it what it was. And they didn't, and they ruined it. I'm sorry. It's such a shame. And...
It's really awkward. Yeah, I actually enjoyed my time with it.
No. It's nice. But you didn't play the original.
Yeah, I've still not played the original yet.
Yeah. If you played the original and compared it to this,
fair. Yeah,
it's not even like... I look on Steam every now and then just to see what the reviews are, and the reviews are mixed. And I'm like, it must be a bunch of people that weren't sure. Like Road 96 is on sale right now for like £4. Like, if you haven't played it, go and play it.
Is it still on Game Pass as well?
I'm not sure.
I think it got removed, but I could be wrong about that.
Please, like this game, it hurts. It hurts that it's not good, you know. But yeah,
you know what? It doesn't detract from the original. Like you say, if the original's £4 right now, what a steal.
Yes.
What an absolute bargain.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I feel like maybe I'm... It was just that mini game at the start, man. It was so bad.
What, the skateboarding
rhythm? The skateboarding rhythm, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And then I got to the photography bit, and I was like, "This no.
Question, how far in did you get?
That's where I got and was like, I'm not doing it anymore. I refuse.
Yeah, hate to break it to you. That's the game.
Yeah, no, that's why I stopped. Yeah. I think it was you in my chat. It was like, this happens every...
Mm-hmm. This is it. Every, this is the game.
This is what happens. Like, I'm like, nope, can't do it. No way. But yeah, that's my one. That's my biggest letdown of the year. Anyone got any big letdowns or surprises?
I'm trying to think of a positive surprise because...
My positive surprise I've already mentioned, Lethal Company. I think that game, I was not expecting it to be good. I've already mentioned that. I played it and I was absolutely blown away by that game.
Fair enough.
Maybe it's a bit of a cheap shot, to be honest with you, but I'll put Liza P in there. I was expecting it to be good. I was not expecting it to be fucking brilliant.
I mean, so. I'll say the same about Baldur's Gate, though. Like,
well, I thought that's where you were going initially.
Yeah, no, after playing, for my positive one, right? After playing Baldur's Gate, me, Despawn, Crash played Baldur's Gate the day it came out. We got codes early from Dead Good Media. And I remember playing this and be like, this is going to be good. This is going to be a fun game. Not for me right now. It came out. I got to it later than most people because I wasn't like on the hype for it. Mm-hmm. And then you play it now. You listen to the way I speak about it at the start of the show, right? Like, it's night and day differences. I did not expect this game to be what it is. So that's my positive of the year.
Yep. I think that's fair.
All right. I'm going to say Alan Wake 2. In a weird way, like, I expected it to be good. I never finished Control. Like, the Remedy games have always been like, they're fun, but like, they've never been like, must play, I need to finish every story.
From you?
From me, yeah. No, it's weird, right?
Okay, yeah, but, yeah.
But yeah, like, playing Alan Wake, I was like, okay, it's going to be good. I'm like, I know it's going to be okay. Like, I'm excited to play more Alan Wake, and now I'm just like, this is like the benchmark for single player, like, games for me now. How good this game is. Like, storytelling, game direction, action, like, just like everything about it is just like, I want everyone to play this game. Crash, play this game, goddammit.
I do have a negative.
Go on.
I do have a negative. I'm going to put Redfall on the negative. I didn't think it would be as bad as it turned out to be.
I think that's. I think everyone can say agree with
it
that.
It was probably my biggest disappointment of the year. How bad that game ended up turning out.
Yeah, which is very unfortunate.
I've not gone back to it.
I heard
it's
gotten better, but I don't know.
I'm interested to see what it's like. Not enough to go back and play the entire story, but again, I think there were fundamental issues with that game, like just the trying to make it a live service game and the loop breakups that causes just didn't do it for me.
Party Animals. Yeah, surprise. I did not expect to enjoy that as much as I did. Game that came out of nowhere. You know, someone was like, you're going to play this ragdoll game where you knock each other off of a map and, you know, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't the perfect game by no stretch of the imagination, but very, very fun game. Very, very
also
fun
a good
game.
Answer for the last question we had about games that are on Game Pass that you wouldn't have bought but have played and enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Party Animals.
See, I would have bought Party Animals. I bought Party Animals on Steam. All right, let's leave that one for the rest of the questions. We'll leave for next year, all right? Boys, let's plug and get ourselves out of here. Crash, what you got to plug this week, dude?
My Xbox Me Discord, YouTube page, all the good places. Go subscribe and keep an eye out. Everywhere we got a bunch of new stuff planned for the new year. Very excited for what we do have planned and to actually be doing stuff we've promised in this new year.
I made no promises.
A lot of pressure.
I made no promises.
Promise everything.
No pressure. You got no pressure. We already told you ain't got to do nothing.
Wait, did I say pressure?
That's the pressure.
Yeah, but you said Crash, you got no pressure.
No, I meant Matt. If I said Crash, okay, I meant Matt. Okay, I meant Matt, you got no pressure.
Yeah, Matt comes Matt and goes when he pleases.
When he wants, he's a busy man. We allow it. We allow it. Dayspawn, what do you have to plug?
The YouTube comment section. In fact, no, not the YouTube, because Crash already done that. Twitch. We are so close to affiliate. We are so close. We're going to do it. We're going to make it. I might even try and force us to make it before the end of the year. Come hang out on Twitch.
I'm tempted to do that as well, to be honest. I'm tempted to just do like one in the morning, one in the evening.
I may have a half day on Friday that, you know, could involve me playing video games.
Friday?
Friday.
You want to play the finals?
No, I can do the finals, as long as you don't judge me too much for my bad call-outs.
Lethal Company.
Well, because Matt won't be there.
Yeah, Matt won't be there.
Right, you guys carry on.
No. Lethal Company, I want to do
You have to have four people for that.
You don't have to have four people.
We'll talk about
No, you have to.
We'll talk about fun.
Twitch. Go follow the Twitch.
Yeah.
Matt, you got anything to plug at work? Anything coming out?
Oh, yeah, but you know. Go look at the FGS channel. Actually, yeah, we put out really good stuff. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. They're not videos that are going to do crazy numbers. We know that. But especially the Christmas Eve video, which is like a comedic look at the year of video games. Almost like a 15-minute long stand-up set that one of our guys, Nathan, did. He's nice. Fucking brilliant. And it was a genuine pleasure to work on that with him. And it's really fucking good. So go check that out on the Future Game Show YouTube channel. Go subscribe and do all the things. But I kind of wanted to say, like, thank you to the audience. It's been a fucking brilliant year for my Xbox and me. We keep talking about how we want to change stuff for next year, and we will, and it's going to be great. But this has been a fucking brilliant year. And if Xbox get a 4 out of 10 this year, I think my Xbox and me gets at least a 5, you know?
Yeah, we're about a 5. Mm-hmm. It's been a weird year for me, like, looking back on it, which I guess we'll probably do that on, like... I don't want to reminisce too much, because I feel like that's a new year. It's like a new year topic, right? Like looking back on the year type of thing. So I won't do it here, but yeah, thank you. I do agree with you. Thank you for listening. Like, and it's never lost on me that you listen to Three Knuckleheads every week, sometimes four with Matt. every week, come on and talk about Xbox in our dumb ways with our difference of opinions and things like that. It's never ever lost on me. It never has been, never will be. And yeah, I hope with what we want to do with my Xbox and me and some of the goals we want to hit and things like that, I hope you guys will continue with us on the journey, because we got some stuff we want to do that isn't even Xbox related or video game related per se. So yeah,
I do want to, like, just to piggyback on the back of that, I do want to say, obviously without reminiscing too much, thank you for welcoming me with open arms to the community. Like, I enjoy my time each and every week hanging out with you knuckleheads, as you put it, talking video games, and just getting the opportunity to do that with you lot has been a blast, and knowing that people out there are enjoying it is, you know, just a cherry on top and a bonus. So yeah, thank you to everyone out there for showing me love and not booing me off the stage, as it were.
I would have booed you so hard.
Yeah, you don't like my sass, but you know, that's fine. But also, you know, 5 points, you know, guess that game winner.
Guess they're game winner champion. You're not wrong.
You know.
Wrong.
Yeah, but they also did an extra week when none of us were here,
and I still didn't get a point.
Yeah, no, that's not the point.
If you were a champion, you would have got the point. Yeah, you would have gotten a point every chance you got.
No,
you're winning by default because the other three knuckleheads suck at this game.
Yep,
suckleheads. Yep.
All right, yeah, cool.
Fair enough.
Well, let's go. Just be there. Till next time. Love you. Leave you. See you later. Good boys.
Love it. Bye.